Still spinning. There you go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hey Man. I am Josh Wolf. This is my son, Jacob. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How you doing? Oh, now. I know that you've been, by the way, making fun of me in my dad shoes.
Yeah.
Can I show you the latest pair of dad shoes?
Sure.
These ones might be even more comfortable than the other ones. Bam.
Turn it. I wouldn't say it's a dad shoe. It's more just a trainer.
Yeah, it's a trainer.
Yeah.
Are doesn't make it a dad shoe?
No, just makes it a trainer. Nike makes some of the most comfortable trainers ever.
Oh, dude, this is like.
Yeah. You should. I know you're on the Nike train. You should get a pair of.
Hold on one second. We went live.
Yeah.
Instead of recording, this one's live.
Oh.
We're not going to answer the people in the chat. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, I can't even see the chat, so.
I know you can't. Hey, everybody. We've been recording these, so I hit the wrong button, and we're going live right now. But this is just so you know, this is just going to be me and Jacob. So I'm happy that you guys are here and watching, but we won't be bringing anybody on screen to answer, and I probably won't be digging into the chat too much. I just want to give you guys
the heads up. Okay? Love you guys, bro.
What's that?
I said love you guys.
Love you guys. Love having you here, just so you know that this was just a mistake that I made, and I hit live instead of record.
I mean, do you just want to switch it, or are we just going to do it?
I mean, we might as well do it. We're just not going to answer. You know, usually when we would do something like this, you and I would hit the chat a lot, and that's just not what this podcast is going to be.
Okay.
This podcast is going to be, because a lot of times when we do live, what's the one question you're tired of answering?
Why is he so much taller than you?
What's the second question you're sick of answering? Did you order the porn?
Which you did. Okay.
But so you don't mind this dad shoe?
No, it's not a dad shoe. I just told you that.
It's a trainer.
It's a trainer. Everybody wears trainers.
Well, listen, man. That I'm hip as you know what.
I don't know. You got it. Yeah, it's an interesting colorway. I would have probably gone something a little more bland for you, but that works.
This is pretty bland. It's black.
With purple and teal.
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, dude. Here's what I want to talk to you about. Okay. Now, this might be midlife crisis stuff. But how would you feel if I painted one fingernail?
Paint your middle fingernail.
No, not that one.
Why not?
I'm gonna do ring one.
Middle one.
Okay, whatever. But how would you feel if I...
Because black. Just do it in black.
I'm doing it in black. 100% black. 100% black. How do you feel about that?
You do whatever you want.
Let me see your nails.
They're clean right now.
So what color are you going with next?
I think like an orange.
Orange. I think I'm going to go ring finger, dude. I don't like middle finger. Middle finger is not, that's not what I'm going for. I like ring finger, but I can't decide if I'm going to do it on the same hand, left hand or right hand.
I think if you're going to do one, you have to mirror it on the other hand. So I would do two.
I don't think so. I think you're 100% wrong. I think it's one is the way to go. Not two. One. Don't you think?
No.
Why you think the same one on both hands?
So weird. Just walk around with literally one fingernail painted and it's just on one hand and not both. That's just weird.
I think it's the exact not weird.
No, when people see it, they're going to be like, are you okay? Like, do you need to talk? Like,
when they see it, they're going to be like, thank God that wasn't equal on both hands. That would be weird.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I don't.
Why? But you don't care, like, just out of curiosity, like, it wouldn't bother you. You wouldn't feel like your dad is embarrassing you.
What? The embarrassment question still coming up? Come on now.
Can you think of, besides the clips that I've put up, right? Which I never thought of as embarrassing you. No. Because I always asked when, are you okay with this story?
Right. Yeah.
But you know, can you think of a time, because I was thinking about this earlier. Can you think of a time where you felt like I embarrassed you? And can I ask you another question?
Okay.
I've wanted to know, do you remember the time that you were, and by the way, Jacob Wolf was a great baseball player. Jacob Wolf threw harder at age 13 than I did at 18. Yo, this dude could flat out let it fly and put the ball where he wanted to. Natural movement. I had taught him how to throw a changeup young. Like, my man could dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yep.
He could hit a fucking mitt, bro. Like, long and lanky and had these extra long fingers. So they kind of held on to
the ball a little longer.
Ball for extra long. And so, do you remember the time that you were crying on the mound and you threw a little bit of a tantrum and I took you off the bench and made you go sit in the car?
Well, I remember this. You took me off the mound and I got mad because I didn't want to come off because I knew I could get through the inning. But I was like inning five. It was late in the game. I had been out there for a cool minute. I had been throwing the whole entire game. And I didn't want to come out. That's where it came from. I got into a lot of arguments with not a lot of arguments, but I definitely got into my fair share with you and a couple of the coaches because they picked people over me. And I was like, dude, that's not right. Like, give me the ball. Like, give me the ball. Like, I'm the one who's supposed to have the ball. And that my mouth got me not in trouble, but my mouth definitely got me put in scenarios where I was like, hey, I'm the coach, this and that. Like, you're going to listen to what I say. I think this is the best move, when it wasn't. And I have a great reference for that exact story. But I came out of the game and I got on the bench and I was pissed. I was throwing my glove. I was angry. And then you put me in the car. And I sat in the car just crying, just angry, super, super angry. But that wasn't you trying to embarrass me. That was you.
Yeah.
Taking me and trying to get me to calm down and taking me out of a heated situation because I was just mad. Did we end up winning that game?
We did. That was a couple things. That was me definitely not trying to embarrass you.
No, and I know that.
That was for sure me a couple things. One, if I let my son act like that, then I got to let everybody act like that.
Facts.
And, and I think you know this, when I coached your teams, who was I the hardest on?
Me.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Because I was the best on every team. But also, well,
you were definitely like on the teams that I coached. You might have played on a couple teams with Austin where you guys were at that time basically equal.
That coach pitch Red Sox team.
Oh, that was unfair.
Oh my God. That team was destructive.
That was unfair. That was unfair. But
so much fun.
But I was harder on you for a bunch of reasons. One, because so the other kids would always feel like, well, shit, I guess I got to do it too. But two, for you to be able to learn that there are no free lunches across the board.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're at and who your coach is or who your teacher is or whatever. Like, you got to put in the same work, if not more, if you want to be great, you know?
Yeah. That rule didn't always translate to every father coaching his son's team.
Well, it goes one way or the other. Some, for me, I wasn't harder on you because I was living out my unfulfilled life on you.
Right.
Like I think some people are.
Right.
I was harder on you because I think it was better for you and for the other kids. I thought being harder on the best player and making the best player the most accountable was a good lesson for everybody.
I think so.
You know, I loved coaching. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know you did. I'm thinking on the teams where you weren't a coach and they were ass, like that Angels team at Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
That Toluca Lake team, my very final year playing ball, not in high school.
Didn't that team go to like? Didn't you guys go to the playoffs?
The Toluca Lake team where we won two games.
Yo, that team could have been so good. That was crazy.
Dude, it could have been so good, and then the coach's kid dropped out, and the coach was an absolute.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember playing a game, and I remember on the other team. Do you remember that? Remember that kid Shane who played with us when we were younger? Bigger kid. His dad was a little older. I went out to San Diego with them for a weekend. Remember Shane?
Yep.
So Shane ended up being on the other team, and before the game, we hugged it out. I said hey to his dad, and we did the whole thing. We played that team, and I was pitching well, but we needed that fundamentals coach. Well, by the way, also, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't practice. This coach didn't hold practices. We went into every game just after the other game the next week. Yeah. Like, I remember there were ground balls hit to the outfield, and my outfielders didn't know how to field a ground ball. And it would be a single would turn into a triple because then no one would be a cutoff. No one could throw. Like, it was an absolute shit show. I was the only one on that team. There was a couple others.
There were a couple of players.
But every other team was practicing. Jake Gould and Luke Montoya were on a team together. Yeah. Like,
but dude, obviously you got to practice. But I will tell you.
Yeah, you got to practice. But also the thing about that is I was sitting on the mound, and I remember watching the third ball go through my center fielder's legs. And I literally looked at the coach. I put the ball on the mound and walked off. And he was like, you're done? And I was like, I'm fucking done. I was like, I'm not pitching anymore. I was like, I can't. I was like, if my fielders can't field, I'm going to be sitting out here just throwing out my arm. Like, what do you want me to do? And he was like, what would your dad say? And I'm like, my dad wouldn't have let us get into this situation, coach. Like, you aren't helping. And I went back out to the mound, struck out the next two batters, and then sat the rest of the game.
I remember he actually talked to me about that. And I agreed with him on one thing, which was, his team, he's the coach, you're the player. And what I would tell you is what I told you the same thing when you had teachers that neither one of us liked, which is you're going to have bosses in your life. You're going to have people in your life that you don't like, that aren't good leaders, that aren't, but you still have to function.
Yeah.
You still have to figure out a way to function and do your job well.
Yeah.
Even if leadership isn't good. And so in school, I would tell you, you still need to figure out how to get your work done and learn, even if the teacher isn't good. And on those teams, I remember telling you, I don't agree either. You should be practicing. Fundamentals are the most important thing at your age. They're not even the most important thing. The most important thing at your age was, are they having fun? Because if they're having fun, they're going to be open to learning. If they're not having fun, they're not going pro. This is for fun, man. And if you took away the fun, they're not going to learn. And so, but he was definitely stripping you of your fun. But
I had zero fun on that team.
Yeah. But the one thing I wanted to make sure that you did was not, so what you do is you make yourself, in the grand scheme of things, when you think about things like this, right?
Yeah.
You make yourself a victim. You allow somebody else to strip you of your fun, which you're saying, well, it's his fault that I'm. Right. And I was always trying to show you, you can't give somebody that power
right
over you. Do you know what I mean? Like
at the end of the day,
how much fun was it? Dude, I used to love watching you pitch, man. I used to love how competitive you were. You know, the thing that I love the most about you as when you played on teams, I loved how you picked people up. The last person on the bench never felt like you thought they were the last person on the bench. And you made sure instinctively to encourage people and point out the things that they did well and not the things that they didn't do well. And the only time I ever saw you go against that was on that last Toluca Lake team when it felt like he had stripped you of your joy,
I Here's the thing. I did my job to the best of my abilities. I worked every day we were out there. Any game we played, I brought my A game every fucking day because I'm a competitor and I want to win, or I at least want to give it my all. If I don't win because my backbone of my team can't do shit, well, then I know I did everything I could. I got on that mound knowing that I was one of the best on that field every day. And when basic ground balls get through the outfield, they get through the infield and all that stuff, it's fucking defeating when you know you're doing your job and the rest of your team isn't.
But buddy, it would have been less frustrating. Right? It's just like if you and I trained for a marathon together, right? And I just couldn't finish. But we trained. That's one thing where you're like, man, but we fucking gave 100.
Yeah. Right? 100%.
But it's so much more frustrating if you trained and I didn't, and then I stopped us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was frustrating for you. Not that there were errors, but like, you don't know how good your team would have been because you never had a chance to practice. The guy was not putting the people in position. And I think that frustrated you the most.
What frustrated him the most was that he doesn't care.
Yeah.
His son quit the team.
I remember that.
Because his dad, and I still talk to Rock, man. I still see Rock every now and then. I'm like, what's up, dude? Like, still love the kid. He's a great guy. He's jacked now, dude. Oh my God. He's built like a fucking Irishman, he is. Oh my God.
Dude, I saw some Irish dude's dick last weekend in Dallas.
I saw the blurry picture of you running.
Jacob Wolf. This dude shows up in a kilt, right? Did I tell you the story?
You know, you kind of walked into that one though, right?
Well, okay. So the guy shows up in a kilt. And you know how I like weird shit.
Yeah.
So he's sitting with a kilt in the front row. And by the way, dude, the night before, your older brother was there, right?
Right.
And then the night before, dude. So the night before, I'm sitting in the back with him, and up in the front row, there were these two people, and they were four people actually. And they were just talking. And I said to your brother, they're not going to last 10 minutes with me on stage. My goal was to walk them and just to fucking lay the fuck into them.
Love it.
And, I started to talk to them, and the couple was drunk, and there was two young blonde girls at the table. And the one older woman had her arm around one of the young blonde girls. And so I said to them, I go, is this your mom? She goes, no. I go, it's not your mom. She goes, no, we're not with them. And I was like, what? She full on had her arm around her. I go, you're not with them. She goes, no. And the other blonde girl goes, they're eating our food. I was like, what?
What?
They've been sat together at a four top, and this drunk couple just started putting their arm around, eating their food and shit. Dude, it was bananas. It was a bananas weekend, but I invite it. I like it. You know, if it's additive to the show, I'm on board for that shit.
Did you send the drunk people home or?
Oh, they, you know, I didn't want them to get kicked out. I wanted them to be so humiliated
that they walked out.
Yeah. Because they were being rude to the other people around them. They were being rude to the servers. How much of a tolerance do I have for that? Zero. Rude to the people that are working there. You're waiting too many tables, man. You're rude to your waiter. I know who you are as a person.
Facts.
If you're rude to your waiter,
you can't just say, oh, I was drunk. It's like, nah, man, drunk action, sober thoughts. Don't fucking play with me. Like,
yeah, dude. If you're rude to your waiter, I know who you are. So I don't have any sympathy for you. And by the way, like when I chase people out,
everybody behind knowledge. You.
What's that?
Yeah. Well, you would chase people out with everybody behind you. You wait till they fuck up enough to where everybody in the crowd now hates them.
Oh, you know my deal.
Because then you start talking to them and the whole crowd cheers you on. And then they hear that they're not welcome. And then they go, phew.
You know what the deal is.
Yeah. It's the right move.
Yeah. So
there is, on that note of people being rude to their waiter, there was one person who you and I know very well, or I guess did know very well. I'm not going to give a name in case anybody pops up. My most recent ex's dad is one of the rudest people. Way. Dude.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Of all time. every time we're at a restaurant, hey, he'll snap at the waiter.
No way. On my life.
He doesn't smile. Like, he's just straight.
He's the single nicest man I know.
Crazy, right? Crazy. I ran it. It happened multiple times, dude. Multiple times. Like, and my ex and her mother also know it.
That is crazy.
Hate it.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, look, as people who've worked in the service industry, and I know he has as well since he was 14, and I know he knows that. I know all of us have a certain standard of how we think everything should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But starting out with a snap, no. You got to let it escalate to somewhere to where you snap.
Nah, you snap at me, bad shit's gonna happen to your food. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't. First of all, I don't work for you.
Facts.
I'm not your servant. But you know, people who have never waited tables before, and I don't know if he has.
From what I heard, yes.
Okay. People who have never waited tables before also don't quite understand like the how nerve-wracking it is to count on the kindness of strangers to make your living. That is a fucking
hard. It's fucking hard. Even just working the restaurant, I never got to wait tables. I think it's something I would have been so good at.
You were crushed. What?
Oh my god!
What was your? Can I ask you what your pre-working and Jacob works in the television business. He just recently worked on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
He's worked on both David Spade shows. He worked on my show. He's worked on a bunch of stuff.
I've done my fair share. And also to take back to that, I've had just a quick note. I've had people ask me, go, why aren't you a producer yet? And I go, why? Because of my dad? They go, yeah. And I go, because that's not the route we take. I go, that's not how we do this. And I go, also, I don't want his name to be tainted if he puts me in a situation and I make him look bad. I go, also, it's just like people think that's how this business works. It's not.
Well, here's what this –
you don't just get handed producer spots when you're 18. That's not –
fucking, I don't know any 18-year-old producers.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, people barely even want – like you have to have a certain level of experience in order to get there. I go, coming into 2021 and really starting to hit a groove, I didn't have that fucking experience. So why in the world would someone try to hand that kid a producer job?
Let me ask you something. I'm not sure why you're freezing on this stream and you haven't been on the other ones. Is this because we're streaming this one live?
It's probably because we're live. Okay. Am I still freezing?
You're a little choppier. It's all right. Let me ask. But so here's my question. And by the way, everybody, here's the way the business works. And for those of you who are nepotism and all that stuff. There is no doubt that Jacob got put in front of some people and got some opportunities.
100%.
But by the way, guys, that's called life.
Facts.
That's called life. It's not just the entertainment business. It's any business. It's relationships is how you a lot of times get in the door. And everybody.
It's who you know.
So zero apologies for me or anybody I know, right?
Absolutely.
Giving Jacob opportunities. But I want to tell you this, and I'll use Chelsea lately as an example on this too. People tell me all the time, they're like, you better thank Chelsea Handler. And by the way, I'm ever so grateful for Chelsea and for things, ever so grateful. But all she did was give me an opportunity, give Brad Wallach an opportunity, give Lonnie Love an opportunity. She gave a lot of people opportunities.
Joe Coy, Heather McDonald, Woody Cummings. Yeah,
she gave a lot of people opportunities that didn't stick. You still have to deliver on your opportunity because guess what? You're going to get a chance, but that doesn't mean anyone is going to want you to fuck up their work because you're not a good worker. And so I will tell you something about Jacob Wolf. He did get an opportunity. All I could give him was put him in front of the first person. How many jobs since then have you gotten without me? All of them. Jobs, by the way, where people don't know who I am, they're just hiring him.
Because it's mostly word of mouth about how I put my head down and I do my work. And once I finish one task, I'm ready for the next. And how I can lead a team of people I don't know. I go, Word spreads fast in this business, y'all. Word spreads fast in life. But if you're a good worker, you're a producer, I guarantee you knows another producer. And that producer knows more producers.
Yeah, that's how it works.
It's just a line. It's just how it works. It's just a network. It's just a massive spider web, dude. That's all it is. Like,
just like every other business. So much of it is relationship and word of mouth. Now, let me ask you, because we're coming up on the end of this. I wanted to ask you what your favorite job was pre-entertainment business.
Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's.
Fucking Jersey Mike's.
Tell me
why. Not even a question. Not even a question, Jersey
Mike's. Tell me why.
Well, I got to work with one of my best friends, Devon Wade, who...
By the way, yo, if anyone's listening, what's his IG?
His name is Devon_Wade. My man is a roller skater right now. He's fucking killing it. Like, my guy is smooth with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Devon, Devon underscore.
Devon underscore Wade. Wade. D-Wade's my guy. But so I've known D-Wade since middle school. So to be able to get – because I knew he worked there through high school. So I went there, got a job. We obviously connected right away. And then also the staff, man. Like, the coworkers I worked with, like, you know, Dustin Time is now one of my best friends. I'm about to be a groomsman at his wedding next year. Miles is one a really good friend. We won a intramural softball championship together. Like, I added people to my family from that store. So that was really awesome. I met a lot of cool people along the way. Had a lot of cool people come in the store too. Served Hillary Duff, Machine Gun Kelly. I ran into my old middle school counselor, Mr. Backus.
Didn't Grohl go in there?
Dave Grohl came in once, served him. You know, we served a lot of cool people. And also, you know, working with your best friends is just great. No matter what you're doing, shit gets rough. But when you got your squad around you, and you got your family, at the end of the day, when you get through it, you're going to go, hey, great fucking job. Let's just get ready for the next one.
Dude.
And we were all down and ready to just get the work done and do that extra shit that would get us ahead. And we made great tips, dude. I remember
I got to tell you, man, your mom and I, you know, we used to sneak in there and just watch you.
Yeah, I know. I used to flip, you know, the oil and vinegar bottles I would grab and I'd flip in the air and I'd catch them. And like, if someone wanted like a sauce from the hot sub machine, which was like ranch or honey mustard or like anything extra, whoever was on the grill, I'd be like, yo, throw me that honey mustard. And they would throw it down the line and I would catch it, flip it behind my back. Like, we had fun. Like, we just had a great time. And
yeah, man, for me,
so much fun. You know, I mean, I like talking to people too. I get to, you know, make a person's day. I remember one guy walked, like two kids walked up and his mom and a dad, and we started talking. He was kind of sad. And I was like, what's up, man? What do you want? And we start talking and he looks kind of shy. And I go, all right, I'm going to list some things for you. I go, turkey and cheese. And he kind of peeks his eye out and I go, turkey and cheese. And he kind of nods his head. I was like, all right, cool. Start making this stuff. And I'm making his dad sandwich too. And he's watching me move. And I'm just kind of like vibing with the music and whatever. And then I look at him, I go, hey, you want to see something really cool? And he goes, okay. And I go, and dad picks his son up and puts him. And I throw the vinegar in the air and I catch it and I use it. And the kid's big smile. The daughter's now laughing. And I've got everybody in now the store is in a good mood. Because a child's laughter for everybody. I don't care how dark of a heart you have. That shit will make you smile. And now everybody in the store is smiling. And he walks out and he goes, hey, man, like, you don't know me and you don't know what the day we had is, but you just literally made my son's whole entire day. And I was like, my man, like, anything I can do. I was like, this is just my job and I'm just here to serve you guys. But I'm glad you guys had a great experience. The man dropped a $50 bill in the tip jar. And I remember people would come in. There was some guy, random guy who came in during Christmas and he dropped $200 and 20s in the tip jar and was just like, Merry Christmas. And he ran out. We had regulars who would get our whole, like one guy got our whole list of names from our manager and wrote us each a Christmas card and gave us each 10 bucks. Like, we made a name for ourselves at that Jersey Mike's. And so
How many years in a row did that Jersey Mike's – was it the best-selling Jersey Mike's?
Best store in the country for 3 years prior to me being there and the 2 years after that I was there.
Can I tell you something, man, that I truly just love and admire about you and am so proud of?
Every place that I am is the best place I've ever been.
I do love that, dude. You are about spreading joy and happiness. And one thing that you're better at than I am, especially at your age – which I am so glad, I always was about spreading joy and happiness, but I was also not great at setting boundaries and saying no to people and standing up for myself and what I've, and it, like, I would say yes to things, even if I didn't want to do it, cause I didn't want to hurt someone's feelings and stuff.
Right.
And what I feel like you're way better at my age, at your age that I was, is being able to differentiate those two and not having a problem being like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Or yeah, that's not it for me.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, you can still be happy and kind to people, but that no doesn't make you an asshole. And I'm so glad that you have that more than I did. I wish I had had that earlier in my life.
Well, I think I probably learned a little bit of that from you as well, because by the time, you know, I was born, obviously you had a couple more years of life experience on me. So I think growing up, I think that was kind of instilled in me, like, hey, don't, because, you know, also I got picked on a lot in school. I was never like, I was talking about this last night. I was like, yo, thank God I never got my ass beat in high school. Because the other schools in my league, like Loyola and Crespi and Alemany, the kids like me got their ass beat in the locker room. Like,
by who?
The football players, the basketball players, the baseball players, people who didn't like
the same team beat each other up.
Yes, like, I wasn't on the baseball team or the basketball team. None of them liked me. I could have gotten my ass beat in the locker room at any time. We had a PE period where we all had to go to the locker room and change.
Yeah.
On that football team, I told you there was a kid there who literally almost broke my back. Like, I was sitting in a water trough right in front of a fence with my helmet off and all my pads on. And I was sitting in a water trough and he came up and just speared me from behind. And I went into the fence and my toes touched my back.
Yeah.
Like, and he got up and he laughed and said, oh, sorry, I slipped. And him and his boys walked away. Like, I'm truly amazed. And he targeted me every practice. Like, I'm truly amazed I didn't get my ass beat in high school. Like, I really say that in all seriousness.
I remember you telling me about that stuff. And I remember asking you, do you want me to do something about it? And you said no.
And I said, no.
And I said, I'm happy to stop it. And it might stop, but it probably won't.
It would have only made it worse.
Yep.
And that's why I told you not to. And I was like, please don't.
I remember having this conversation and being like, look, I'm happy to do it, but I think it's something that you have to try to figure out how to do yourself or it'll keep happening.
Yeah. It never went away until I changed schools.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, also the things that we talked about that you were like what? And I gave you my opinion. You were like, well, I'm not doing any of those. I was like, okay.
Yeah. The making jokes, the making fun of people. My brain just wasn't there yet. I was too. No,
but I told you straight up, if you get in a fight with this kid and lose and get in trouble, you won't be in trouble at my house.
And I knew that.
Yeah. You need to stand up for yourself. Honestly, I was like, if you need to stand up for yourself, and it was a bigger kid and he was sucker punching you and all that stuff, and you needed to come up. And I remember telling you this. If you need to make an example and hit him when he's not looking and hit him hard and hit him with something that you probably shouldn't hit him with, that's fine, because then nobody's going to bully you. And I was like, I'm not talking about braining somebody with a bat, but I'm talking about hitting somebody who's bigger than you, who's been picking on you the way they hit you.
Yeah.
To let them know, hey, this goes both ways. And look, I wouldn't say that to anybody else's kid, but for me and you, for the lesson for you, which was, don't make yourself a victim. Don't let these motherfuckers think that it's okay to do that to you.
Yeah.
But I would say something else. You and I being very similar, I knew also at your age, I would have said the same exact thing you said to me.
Right now? Fuck yeah. Like, let's go. Like, I'm ready to throw hands. But I just wasn't. And I was fresh off of, you know, I was pretty fresh off of Krav Maga and Taekwondo. So, yeah, you know, for me, my mind is self-defense, yeah. Only for self-defense.
You were at that point in your life where you could walk into the splits on
not
both
at 14.
Sides. Yo, you were breaking boards above my head.
Well, yeah, again, but not at 14.
12.
Beginning of Krav Maga, probably, because I still had that elasticity from
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
All right. Now, look, I want to ask one question because we're going to keep these
nice and short.
these nice and short. And so this is a question we got off of Twitter, and here was the question. Ready?
Yeah.
What is the most, the story that I tell about you that you dislike the most?
It used to be the iCloud story. And I've said that a lot. It used to be the iCloud story, but then David Ortiz told me it was his favorite story. And I was like, dude, fuck it. Tell anything. I don't think I have a story that annoys me the most. The porn one has turned into my story at this point. I feel like we should make a part two, but I should tell it.
By the way, the porn is a like, I tell a story now on stage. It's about 12 minutes. And you know the one where you
win. That story ends up with me winning.
Yeah, I would say not half, but 40% of the stories that I tell about you, you win.
Yeah. The fight story, that story.
And not only that, dude, can I tell you the best part is that no matter what the story is, you're so likable in all of the stories.
Yep.
You're so likable in all the stories because it's so human what's happening, you know?
Right.
And so.
Yeah. I don't think I have a story I don't like the most, but I think the one thing I hate the most from your set is, that one.
You hate that laugh.
Yeah. I think that's, if anything, that, but like, I don't hate any of the jokes or I dislike any of them. Like, I've given the seal of approval to tell anything and everything. So
yeah,
there's no going back on it now.
Jacob Wolf,
what's up?
I am loving these podcasts so far.
They're great. I'm excited to get this going.
Well, it's going, my man. And you know, this one was live.
Apparently,
I'll figure that out next time.
It's just the button next to the live button.
I know, dude. I know.
Sure.
And guys, just remember, you ask any questions for him or us together. You can send them into, I'll probably get us an email here, shouldn't I?
Probably. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll just make an IG page.
Make a what?
I feel like an email subjects to a lot of different things.
We can make an IG page.
An IG page.
A Hey Man IG page?
Yeah.
Will you do that for us?
Yeah. Send me a good picture that you want me to put into the profile. I think that one of us in Miami with the glasses.
Do you have that one?
Probably.
Yeah, why don't you look for it?
I have that video of us walking into the mirror to Can't Tell Me Nothing.
What?
We're in our hotel room, and I goes, nah, wait till I get my money right. And then we step into frame. We both have the glasses, and we're in all white.
Oh, that's right.
That video is fucking lit.
Hilarious.
Video's great.
Will you?
That's the song I play every time I pull into Vegas.
Will you send that to me?
Yeah, I'll find it.
Okay.
I definitely have that. I also have that picture with Joey Fatone. Fire.
So good. That was such a fun weekend with him.
That was a fun weekend.
That was a fun week with him. I've been hanging out with Chris a bunch here in Nashville. He's such a good dude.
He's a nice guy, especially not around Johnny Damon's wife.
Whoa.
Well, that's an insight. That's just to no? Okay.
This is fucking live.
There's no there's no fucking context to that. There's just two names.
Okay.
There is zero context with that.
Okay. All right, that's true.
Are you gonna show your can?
Show my can.
That in your hand?
Oh no.
Oh, that's not. Way.
This is just this. But guess what? Guess what I think is gonna be sponsoring this podcast?
Liquid Death. By the way, if you like, you know, if you like carbonation, but don't like if you, you know, for me, sparkling water is always a little too heavy. Like that, there's way too many bubbles in just like a Perrier or like regular sparkling water. This Liquid Death sparkling water is the best sparkling water I've ever had in my entire life.
I agree 1,000% because the bubbles aren't too big.
No, it's like a flatter sparkling water. It is.
But it doesn't taste flat. It doesn't taste flat.
But it doesn't taste flat. But it's like a flat. But it tastes great. It helped me not drink a lot of soda while I was out there in Nashville. I thought it was stellar. So if y'all are trying to wean off of it, that Liquid Death sparkling water is
pretty fire. Dope.
Fire. Yeah.
All right, listen, man. This is we will. I doubt we'll ever have a guest on here. I think it's just gonna be me and you.
I don't think so.
And send in your questions. You know, are you two gunning me?
Pew 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 pew
pew pew to you, dude.
I'm gonna post that picture of you, me, and Kenny from the Mall of America.
Which one?
After the Nerf, where we're all sweating.
Oh, send that one to me too.
Well, I looked at it the other day and I was like, God, why are we all so fucking sweaty?
Oh, I was fucking sweating my ballsies off.
Oh, God.
It was hot.
Yeah, he shot me in the throat. No, I'm sorry. It was what? Right here. I turned the corner and this man shot me point blank with an amped Nerf gun square in the fucking face. Like, I turned and it's almost like I scared him because I went, ha! And he went, ha! And then popped the fucking gun right in my fucking eye socket. I was like, ow, man. I fell to the floor. And he was like, oh my, he was like, you good? And I'm like, yeah, you shot me in the fucking face.
Got you.
Gotcha. Not cool.
Got you.
Yeah, listen, that was startling. That was fucking. That was fun though.
I absolutely love you.
You have some what? Oh,
I said I absolutely love you.
Love you too, man. I think it's gonna be hard for us to keep this at half an hour.
Yeah, this one was a little longer, but if you were gonna have one guest on here, who do you think it should be?
I don't know. I feel like if we're going to keep it kind of in the family, I feel like it should be a family member.
Yeah.
Like maybe John or Dan Wolf or Adam Wolf, any of the brothers.
Yeah, John Wolf, because he
documented everything.
Yeah, yeah.
He was there for specific moments.
Yeah.
Bro, I know John Wolf's got
Joe Diaz was there.
Stuff in the vault.
Joe Diaz.
Oh, definitely Coco. That would be fun.
Gavin.
Yeah, I think just like family members, I think would be fun.
All right, we'll think about it.
All right.
But we're going to bank a bunch of these with just you and I first.
Right. We'll get a basis down of what it's going to look like. Then.
Hey, man, guess what?
Hey, man.
Guess what?
Huh?
I love you.
Love you too.
We'll talk soon.
Signing off. Bye.